Well, it's good to be here again tonight. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 100, Psalm chapter 141. Psalm chapter 141. We were in this psalm last week. Our main focus was on verse number 3. We read the first three verses, and it was about God keeping a watch over our mouth and the words that we speak and the way that we communicate with people. And David is praying here, and he's asking God to watch over his mouth and keep the door of his lips. And then he moves on from verse number 3 to verse number 4 and 5, which we will be focused on tonight. Verse number 4 and 5, about the direction of our hearts, the direction of our hearts. Which way is your heart inclined this evening? What way is it going? Who has the steering wheel of your heart? Makes a difference. Makes a difference who has the steering wheel of your heart, and which way that your heart is inclined. So we're going to be focused on verse number 4 and 5. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, we pray that you'd help us this evening to get something from your word. Pray that you'd open up our hearts, open up our minds. I pray that our hearts would be inclined towards you. Our hearts would be inclined towards your word. We'd find our sufficiency and our satisfaction in you, Lord. I pray that we would make you the goal tonight, to know you, to love you, to learn about you, to be used by you. I pray that you speak to us this evening. I pray the Holy Spirit of God, you would use the words that are spoken to speak to the hearts tonight. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll start at verse number 1. It's a psalm of David. He says, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice. When I cry unto thee, let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer shall also be in their calamities. If God is directing our hearts, and God is inclining our hearts, and our hearts are going to go in a certain direction, it's going to be a certain way that our hearts go, our lives go, if God is the one who is in control of our hearts, it can go either way. And I was thinking about this when I was making this or studying for this message, and a few years ago, me and my family went to a place called Cloudcroft, New Mexico. It's a range of mountains up there, and they have some cabins and things like that. I think it's the Sacramento mountain range that Cloudcroft is in. It's right there in the mountains. We decided we wanted to get away. I think we still lived in Texas at the time. We wanted to get away, and we wanted to go over to the mountains. We stayed there for a couple of days, and if you're ever in a Cloudcroft, there's not a whole lot of places to buy food. You got an Allsup's, and that was pretty sad in and of itself. Wasn't a whole lot there. We walked in there and we were shocked. It was like, is this even a store? Is there even anybody here or what? And they had some kind of little general store there, and most of the shelves were empty on that. We didn't know what to do. We'd never been to Cloudcroft. So we decided, well, we're going to have to go over to Alamogordo and get something for us to eat because there's nothing in Cloud Croft. So we drove, and I had never been in this territory before. We decided we were going to drive from Cloud Croft, New Mexico, down to Alamogordo, which is about 20 miles, not very far. We started going down the side of the mountain, and man, that is a steep incline. I didn't realize how much of an incline that was, and we're in our little Buick Terraza. We're not in a big four-wheel drive pickup, little minivan. Boy, we're going down that thing, and I had to ride my brakes the whole way down that thing, all the way down. Kept on sailing. Well, if I let go, I could have went 100 miles an hour, put it in neutral and just coasted. And then we're on our way back. And boy, our little minivan had a hard time getting up that mountain, going up that thing. And I wasn't even paying attention. All of a sudden, I look down and I look at the temperature gauge, and it's overheating because it's too steep of an incline. Well, that van was having to work hard. I thought, we ain't going to make it. I'm going to have to stop and let the van cool off a little bit. But I distinctly remember that. We had a really tough time getting up that incline in that little minivan. Our hearts are the same way a lot of times. It's real easy for us to drift away from God. It's real easy for us to go away from God and go away from the Bible and drift away. Just go with our flesh and just go with the flow and not follow God. And when we do that, it's going to be a downward trajectory because that's away from God. But when God inclines our heart, when God has the steering wheel of our heart, He's got the power to make it go where He wants it to go. He's got the strength, and He's got the power. David says, "Incline not my heart to any evil thing." Now, when David says that, he's not saying that God would incline our hearts to evil. God's not going to push us to evil. God's not going to make us do evil. We're naturally inclined that way from birth. We want to sin. It's easy for us to sin. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to push us to evil. We do that naturally. We're born sinners. That's the default human setting that we have. We're all born in sin, and we're going to sin. So what David is saying when he says, "Incline not my heart," he's referring to this. He's saying, God, don't let my heart incline in a specific direction. Don't let it go in a specific way. Don't let me partake of the evil deeds that other people are doing around me. God, I want you to have control of my heart. This is his prayer. This is something that he wants God to do. He says, God, you have control of my heart. And I want you to steer it in a specific direction. God has control over the hearts of men, and he can let it go its own way. Or he can stop it. Or he can harden it, like he did to Pharaoh. Okay, you're going to reject my commandments? You're going to reject me? I'll harden your heart. He has the authority, and he can do that. And here's David, and he knows that, and he says, God, don't let my heart go where it ought not to go. Because your heart determines the outcome of your life. Every decision that you make comes from your heart. And sometimes those decisions are not good. Every evil thing that happens in this world happens because of someone's heart. Every murder that happens, every war that happens, every adultery that happens, amen, every fornication that happens, every lie that comes out of our mouth, amen, everything that comes from us comes from our heart, and we have to guard our hearts and we have to watch our hearts, because if we don't, we're going to ruin our lives. Amen. That's the direction that your heart, your life goes, is the way your heart is. This is David's prayer, and he knows about it. He knows what his heart is capable of. He's seen it firsthand. He's capable of murder. He's capable of a cover-up. He's capable of adultery. He's capable of all of that. And us here are no different.
If God does not have your heart, you're going to ruin your life and I'm going to ruin my life.
Amen.
God, and David says, God, I want you to have control of it. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's deceitful. It'll lead you astray.
Amen.
It's going to deceive you into thinking that what you're doing is right. And that it's fun. And that it's going to pay off in the end. And then you're going to get there, and I'm going to get there. It's not what you thought it was. I want to look at tonight at three directions that the heart takes when God inclines the heart. What way does it go? Number one, it goes away from evil. Away from evil, and then it goes towards justice and towards healing. When God inclines the heart, it is a direction away from evil and towards righteousness. He says in verse number 4, incline my heart, not my heart to any evil thing. David knows. He knows his heart. He knows it could go towards that. That thing that is forbidden. Maybe he's looking around and he sees all the people in his kingdom and he sees how wickedness is flourishing and he sees how people are enjoying themselves as they commit sins and commit wickedness. He says, I don't want to get caught up in that. God, would you not incline my heart to let it do that? Keep me away from all of that. David is asking God to keep him separate from evil. That ought to be our prayer here tonight. We should be separate from evil. Be separate from evil people and evil influences. And that's what he's saying here. Away from evil temptations. He says, let me not partake of their dainties. Boy, dainty is something that tastes good. Boy, it looks good. It looks tempting. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is partaking of it. He says, I don't want to partake of those dainties. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to get sucked into that kind of stuff. Boy, we get into this world and man, stuff looks good. Sin looks good. The world makes it look good. We say, hey, why can't I do that? Why can't I partake in some of that? You and I need to be praying to God and saying, God, guard our hearts and don't let us go towards those kinds of things and partake in the world's dainties. In other words, David is saying, I don't want to go ahead and sin first and then deal with the consequences later. I want to be proactive in what I'm doing here. I want God to stop me before I do it. Just like he did with his mouth, and we learned about last week. Incline not mine heart. Why? Because the hearts of mankind are bent towards evil and towards sin. We want to do it. Book of Job tells us in Job chapter 15, verses 14 to 16, he says, what is man that he should be clean? And he that is born of a woman that he should be righteous? When you're born of a woman, you are born with a moral problem.
Amen.
You are born morally unclean, unrighteous. And Job says, what is man that is born of a woman? He's not righteous. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. He says God doesn't put trust in his saints. You know what that means? It means that God wouldn't even leave his saints alone to take care of themselves without his intervention. Because apart from the grace and the mercy of God, the best saint in the world will destroy themselves. God says, I don't even trust that. I got to be there. I got to incline their hearts. I got to intervene. The heavens are not pure in his sight. And some people worship the heavens, and they worship the stars, and they worship the moon, and they're not even clean, and we aren't even up there. Or at least they weren't whenever Job wrote this. Or whoever wrote it, may not have been Job. So we have a sin nature, and we must have God to intervene. And when God intervenes and God inclines the heart, it is away from evil and it is towards righteousness. Again in Job, it says, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? You know what that means? That means that we drink iniquity down like water. It's for our sustenance. We crave it. We want it. We desire it. We want it to fill us. We want it to fill our lives. That's our inclination. I'll tell you what, the Bible doesn't paint a pretty picture of man. I'm all about God, and I'm all about God intervening, and I'm all about God intervening in my heart and stopping me from doing some of the things that I have the tendency to do. Sin and evil and wickedness, boy, it can look good to us. Boy, we want to partake of it. Hey, everybody else is doing it. We live in a permissive society. Don't you know how society is drifting today and how progressive society is getting? Boy, Christians are falling by the wayside because they're taking part in all of this. But we have to go against the tide. Amen. We have to stand against the tide. And this is David's prayer, and he's saying, I see all of the wickedness that's going on, and I want to go against the current. I'll give you an example of someone who went against the tide and against the current. That was Noah. Noah was the man who stood for righteousness in the face of an entire world that was committing wickedness and lewdness and violence. And there he was, and God came to him and says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Because the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of men were only evil continually. But you know what? There was one man there. There was one man. And the Bible says about that man, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Preservation. Sustenance for Noah. Noah went on and preached in the face of wickedness and in the face of evil. And he went against the current and against the grain. God had his heart. And it affected his life. How about us here today? Does God have your heart? Do you pray for God to incline your heart to good things away from evil? God, I want you to control my heart. I want your grace to intervene in my life. God inclines the heart towards righteousness and away from evil. But as we make our journey towards righteousness, you know what we're going to encounter? We're going to encounter some justice. We're going to encounter some correction in our lives. And when God inclines the heart, He inclines us towards justice and towards correction in our lives, because we all need it. Every single one of us need to be corrected. Even the guy standing here. He says in verse number 5, he says, let the righteous smite me, and it shall be kindness. Let him reprove me. David said, instead of spending my time around a bunch of wicked people who are partaking in wickedness and evil dainties, I want to spend my time around a righteous man, but this righteous man is going to smite me on the head. Not a very good trade. I don't like getting smitten on the head. The kind of smiting he's talking about there is the smiting of correction and reproof. It says, let him reprove me. He's going towards reproof. He's going towards correction. He says, God, I want to be corrected. I want to be reproved. And when God inclines the heart, it goes towards correction. It's not a rebellious heart. It's not a heart that is against correction. It is for reproof. And the righteous man that would smite David would be a kindness to David. Hey, it's a kind smite. Something that's good to him. Some justice in his life. To reprove means correction or wrongdoing, to scold or admonish. And David says, I don't want to go the wrong way. I want some words of wisdom given to me from a righteous man. I need some correction. And when you and I have our hearts inclined by God, that's where it's going. We ain't running away from the law. We're not running away from correction. Hey, we're running to correction. We're embracing correction. Bring it on. I need it. We don't hold up the hand and say, talk to the hand, not the face. We say, we need it. We need it. Did you ever get a spanking as a child? Got a few. Got a few. I bet you didn't desire that spanking, did you? But I bet now that you think about it, now that you're thinking back about it, you know what you're thinking? Boy, that was about the kindest thing that my parents could have done for me. That's about the best thing that my parents could have done for me is scolded me and spanked me. When it's done in a loving and good manner, yeah, that's what we need to do. We need a good striking every once in a while. We need some good correction every once in a while. And children do need to be corrected. And if you don't correct your kids and spank your kids, you're not doing them any favors whatsoever. Amen. Because they need to be corrected. Amen. Even adults need to be corrected. I need to be corrected. You had a loving person in your life that tried to correct you and tried to steer you in the right way. That was an act of the grace of God working in your life to steer you in the right direction. And when the heart is inclined by God, it runs towards correction. The Bible says about God, He says, whom He loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Whenever you get some correction by God, God is trying to do something in your life and He's correcting you. You know what you need to do? Boy, just receive it with joy and say, thank you, God. That's an expression of your love right there. Thank you for not leaving me alone. Thank you for not letting me go my own way. Thank you for not letting me ruin my life. Thank you, God. Because if He didn't correct you, and He don't mess with you, and He lets you keep going and going and going, the Bible says that you are an illegitimate child. It shows us who our Father is. It's God. It's God. We have to receive and embrace correction. Where do you go to receive and get instruction and correction from God? You go to the Word of God. You go to the Bible and you find correction and you find reproof. That's where you get it. You open up the Word of God and you look in there and you say, look, is there something that I'm doing wrong? I want this book to critique me. I want this book to correct me. Do you do that when you open up the Word of God? Do you seek for correction? That's what it's there for. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Is a divine message from God to His people about getting right and getting things out of their life that don't need to be there to be corrected. And when God has inclined your heart, you're looking in this book saying, hey, look, where am I failing at? Where do I need to be corrected? And God is speaking to you and your life is getting corrected. When God inclines the heart. Where else do you go? You go to the preaching of the Word of God. That's what preaching is for. Preaching is there to correct us and instruct us and reprove us and show us the right things to do that are pleasing in God's sight. That's what preaching is for. The Apostle Paul went on in the next chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming back and He's going to judge the quick and the dead. You saved here today? You're alive in Christ? He's coming back. He's coming back. And so we get reproof and we get correction from the Word of God. And we need to be asking God, look, God, incline my heart to the preaching of the Word of God. I want to know what God has to say to me at church when I come to church. Are you seeking for God to speak to you as you hear preaching? What do I need to improve? What do I need to get fixed? How do I need to apply this to my life? When God inclines the heart, it is for reproof, and it is for justice. Then thirdly, a heart that is inclined to justice is a heart that is on the road to healing. God wants to heal you. Every single one of us got a problem. We've got some kind of sin problem. We've got some kind of heartache in our life. We've got something that's wrong in our lives that we need to be healed spiritually by. There's David in verse number 5. He says, when the righteous man strikes me on the head and he gives me reproof, it's going to be like an excellent oil which shall not break my head. He says, it's going to be just like getting anointed with oil, but it's not going to break my head. It's not going to ruin my life whenever I get corrected and whenever I get reproof from the Lord or from His Word or from the preaching of His Word. It's not going to break my spirit. It's not going to ruin my life. No, it's going to be something good. It's going to be some healing. It's going to be like oil on my head. You know, in the scriptures, they use oil like to anoint a priest, anoint a king, setting apart someone. Oil is also used for is a type of healing in the Bible. They use it for healing as well. You know, whenever God reproves us and He rebukes us and He corrects us and He inclines our heart, do you know what that tells us? That tells us that God has set us apart. And our life can't get nothing but better from here on out. There's going to be some healing going on. Going to be some sanctifying going on. Going to be some help coming our way. When God inclines our heart, it's always for the better. When God gets a hold of you and He does sanctifying work in your life and in your heart, it's going to be for something better than what you were to begin with. Every one of us need to think about where you were, where I was 10, 15, 20 years ago, and what could have happened in your life if God had not been there and done something in your life and intervened in your life. Boy, He's really healed me, I know that. And boy, He's still working on me. I'm still hard-headed sometimes. So it's going to be for something better. A heart that is burdened or ravaged by sin and heartache can find relief when God inclines the heart. Is that your prayer here tonight? Is it that God would get a hold of your heart? That God would direct your ways? I hope that when you come to church, I hope that when you hear preaching from the Word of God, that you find some kind of relief and you find some kind of healing from God. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God does a work in your heart and in your life and in my life as well. When God inclines the heart, the Holy Spirit, type of oil in the Scriptures, He illuminates our minds, helps us to see what we need to see out of the Scriptures so He can heal us and help us. And by the way, the Holy Spirit of God inclines our heart to the Scriptures because He knows that we need healing. God leads you to the Scriptures. He leads you to His Word. So many times we try to find some kind of healing or some kind of benefit outside of God's Word, outside of God. Well, we go try to find some kind of help somewhere else. Entertainment, something, but it's not God. It's not His Word. My prayer for each and every one of us at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church is that the Scriptures will be satisfactory for us. Amen. And we won't look outside of that. We won't try to find something outside of that. Because the drift in Christianity today is away from the Bible.
Amen.
It's away from the Word of God. Going to all kinds of other things. Looking for some kind of experience. Looking for some kind of pop psychology. Looking for some kind of entertainment. Because preaching is just not enough. The Word of God is just not enough. And that's all we need, and that's all we have. We don't need anything else.
Amen.
That's where God's leading you. That's where God leads His people, is to His Word. So who controls the reins of your heart? Does God incline your heart? Is God leading your heart? Is He behind the decisions that you make? Maybe you are being led by selfishness and ambition or something else. But I'd encourage you tonight to flee to Jesus Christ. I'd encourage you tonight to remember the gospel. Because He has paid for all of your sins if you are saved here this evening. Turn to Him. Don't go anywhere else. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Ask God to incline your hearts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for Your Word. We pray that, God, You'd help us and intervene in our life. We pray that, God, You would help us, Lord, to seek for You to incline our hearts, to keep us away from evil, evil influences, and sin that would beset us and destroy us. Lord, lead us in the path of righteousness. Help us to do what is right, even when we don't want to do what is right sometimes. Help us and strengthen us, Lord. We are weak, finite people. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us and Your grace upon us. We're praying as these things in Jesus' name. Amen.